Welcome to the Learning Lab. Today, we will be discussing boron neutron capture therapy, or BNCT, with a very special guest, Dr. Rolf Barth. Dr. Barth is a well-known figure in the field of brain cancer research and is particularly known for his contributions to BNCT. He is an academy professor in the Department of Pathology at The Ohio State University and has been involved in cancer research for over 50 years. In addition to his cancer research, Dr. Barth has been an autopsy pathologist and has had the opportunity to see the full spectrum of human diseases. Dr. Barth's extensive research has been supported by various organizations, including the National Institutes of Health, the Department of Energy, the American Cancer Society, and a number of private foundations that support brain tumor research. His research team has significantly advanced BNCT as a cancer treatment modality.
Good afternoon, Dr. Barth, and thank you for taking the time to speak with me today and to share your research and your career with our audience. And to start, can you explain what BNCT is?
BNCT is a very special type of cancer treatment. A radiation therapy that in theory can target individual cancer cells and spare normal tissue. And it is based on a very specific nuclear reaction that occurs when a stable, non-radioactive form of boron, boron 10, is irradiated with neutrons of appropriate energy, which causes the boron 10 to form a boron 11, which undergoes instantaneous nuclear fission. In other words, this boron 11 is not stable, and it results in the formation of very high energy type of radiation called alpha particles. And the alpha particles are able to discharge their energy in an individual cancer cell. So if one can deliver specifically in the sufficient quantity, the boron 10 to the cancer cells, one then is able to selectively kill the cancer cells and spare the normal surrounding tissue cells.
Why specifically like boron and not like any other element?
Boron has a very high neutron capture cross section. All elements have neutron capture cross sections. Boron 10 specifically has a boron, the normal isotope that's irradiated is boron 10. Boron 10 has a capture cross section of 4,800 barns, and a barn is a specific unit of measurement, very, very tiny, 10 to the minus 24 centimeters. So it's tiny, tiny, tiny. And in comparison, normal tissues, oxygen and hydrogen and nitrogen, have very, very, very tiny neutron capture cross sections compared to boron. So basically, then, if the boron 10 is irradiated with these neutrons of the appropriate energy, brings about this neutron capture reaction that spares the surrounding normal tissues. And there are reactions that occur with the normal tissues, but they are insignificant compared to the specific capture reaction that occurs with boron 10.
Is there a particular type of cancer that BNCT is like more effective with, and like what like stage in the tumor's development is it like the most beneficial?
The original work that led to this becoming a cancer treatment modality focused on a very specific type of brain cancer. A very highly malignant tumor called a glioblastoma. And the first clinical trials that were carried out were by a neurosurgeon from Japan who had spent 2 years at the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston in the laboratory of Dr. Albert Soloway, who was working to synthesize various boron compounds that could localize specifically in the cancer cells. And Dr. Soloway identified one specific boron compound that would localize in large amounts in the cancer cells and low amounts in normal tissue. So when Dr. Hatanaka went back to Japan, he decided he was going to try to carry out a clinical study in these patients who had the very highly malignant tumor, the glioblastoma, for which there was no cure. And I might say there still is no cure. And the procedure that he carried out was first to remove as much of the tumor as was surgically possible. And then, after a certain period of time that the patient had to recover from the surgery, to administer the boron compound that had been identified and studied in Dr. Soloway's lab at the Massachusetts General Hospital, and that subsequently then had been produced by a Japanese company for clinical use, he started treating with patients with these high-grade brain tumors. And the clinical results that he got were very encouraging. In the survival times of the patients that he treated were longer than any ever that had been reported before. So that was the initial start of this. This study of Dr. Hatanaka interested another Japanese doctor by the name of Yutaka Mishima, who was a dermatologist. And as a dermatologist, he was treating patients who had skin cancer, and specifically malignant melanomas. Now, the usual treatment for a melanoma is surgery. And melanoma is not responsive to conventional X-ray radiation type of therapy. And Dr. Mishima thought, well, this type of cancer treatment, neutron capture therapy, might just work in patients with malignant melanoma. So his first study then was of a few patients who had malignant melanomas in difficult parts of the body to operate on, like, for example, a sole of one's foot, which might require that the whole foot be amputated. And that, of course, was not something that most people would like to have done to them. So Dr. Mishima at first administered the drug that he was deciding to use, which was an amino acid, buranophenylalanine, based on the normal amino acid phenylalanine, but carrying two boron atoms. And this was then administered around the lesion, around the melanoma, and in the melanoma itself. That was a skin cancer. And then the site of the cancer was irradiated with neutrons from a nuclear reactor. In other words, that's the other very important part of this treatment, is what is the source of the neutrons. And the source of the neutrons, both for Dr. Hatanaka's studies in treating patients with brain tumors and Dr. Mishima's, was nuclear reactors.
And, obviously these studies are probably done further in the tumor's development, but what do you think the effect of this treatment on, the early stages of tumor development would be? Like, would it be more effective than what was found in the studies?
So in other words, the question you're asking is, if the patient with the brain tumor was treated earlier, would the results be better?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that question, unfortunately, is no. And the question you might ask me is, why is it no? And the reason why it's no is that these tumors, these high-grade gliomas, are highly infiltrative of normal brain. And even if the surgeon, and this was done in some very early reports, removed a very large part of the brain, like the whole cerebral hemisphere that had the cancer, the patient still developed the glioblastoma in the other cerebral hemisphere that remained. So, unfortunately, this is a highly infiltrative tumor in normal tissue. And therefore, it is probably going to be the most difficult type of human cancer to treat, although it's still a focus for the treatment of cancer as the primary focus. It is the one that unfortunately is the most challenging. The second group of cancers are those of the head and neck region, various types of cancer from the head and neck region, different types of pathology, histopathology. These cancers generally first are treated with surgery, and then it's followed by radiation therapy. And then, more recently, with chemotherapy in combination with the radiation therapy and the surgery. Now, unfortunately, 50% of the patients with this type of cancer, head and neck cancer, recur. But they have been treated to tolerance. In other words, they can't take any more tissue away for surgery. They can't give any more chemotherapy, and they can't give any more radiation therapy because it would be so destructive to the normal tissue, that what they needed was something that could specifically target the cancer cells. And neutron capture therapy was just that thing. It could specifically target the cancer cells. So at this point in time, that is the primary focus of neutron capture therapy. Melanoma and certain other types of skin cancer in very difficult to treat parts of the body are still a very important target type of cancer that could be treated with neutron capture therapy. Now, the very important change that has occurred is that in the past, the source of these neutrons was a nuclear reactor. And nuclear reactors are not patient-friendly environments. And they're very special nuclear reactors, and they're very, very few. It's not like you could go to the local power station and have your patient treated there if there was a nuclear reactor power station somewhere near where you lived. So it required a very special type of nuclear reactor, and that was very limited. There were only a few in Japan and a few in the United States that could be used for this purpose, and one in Europe. But with the introduction of accelerator neutron sources, that has very significantly opened up the possibility of using neutron capture therapy much, much more widely. And that's what's now happening in Japan, in China, Korea, and in one European country, Finland.
How would you say, like, what are the biggest differences between BNCT and, like, chemo or just, like, traditional radiation?
Specific targeting of the cancer cell, which is very different than conventional radiation therapy. Conventional radiation therapy focuses on a defined target volume. neutron capture therapy focuses on individual cancer cells. So in theory, that makes it the ideal type of cancer treatment. But, and the but is, that we really don't know how much boron gets into the individual cancer cells. And that means then that the radiation oncologist has to approximate that. And the way that this is done is to measure the boron concentration in the blood at the time that the patient is going to be irradiated with neutrons, and then makes an assumption that the tumor concentration is going to be a certain small amount higher than that of the blood concentration. So there's this differential then between the tumor boron concentration and the blood concentration.
What are some of your biggest challenges that you face while researching this?
Well, the biggest challenge in the United States of America, and also probably in Europe, is getting funding for this type of research. Because unfortunately, at this point in time, the National Institutes of Health has only one single small grant supporting research on neutron capture therapy. And in Europe, it's probably a little bit better, but not much better. But at least in Europe now, there is this one treatment center at the University of Helsinki, Finland Cancer Center, where patients are going to probably be treated the early part of 2025. And these will be patients with recurrent tumors of the head and neck region.
What are the next steps in BNCT research?
Well, the most important next step is to come up with more specific boron-containing tumor-targeting agents. And this has been a great challenge. There now are literally hundreds and hundreds of different potential delivery agents that have been described in the chemical biological literature. But there is only one that is now being used widely, and that is this boronophenylalanine. And to a much lesser extent, the one that Dr. Hatanaka used in his brain tumor patients, called sodium borocaptate, completely different than the boronophenylalanine. So the challenge then is to come up with better boron delivery agents that will more specifically target cancer cells and deliver a large payload of boron to the cancer cells.
And what advancements or applications of BNCC do you see happening in the medical field in the future?
I hope that the clinical results that will be obtained in Japan and China and Korea will influence radiation oncologists in Europe, the United States, and other parts of the world to think that this type of cancer treatment is going to be very useful for very certain types of cancers where the alternatives are not very good.
And as someone who's dedicated your entire career to developing cancer treatment options, what advice do you have for high schoolers who are interested in pursuing research?
Well, that's a very good question, because I got my start at a very early age, and that was my junior year of high school. And I was selected to be in a very special program in the Jackson Laboratory in Bar Harbor, Maine. and they selected 24 high school students from all over the United States to come to the Jackson Laboratory for an 8-week period of time to get kind of a crash course in the type of biomedical research that was going on at the Jackson Laboratory. So I had my 2 months there, and at that point in time, if you had a science project that you wanted to carry out, the Jackson Laboratory would send you mice, cages, bedding for the mice, and food to carry out your study. And I carried out my study in my basement home laboratory that I personally had built. And I had a very clear idea of what I wanted to do is to study something called immunologic enhancement, which was a type of immunologic treatment that a scientist at the Jackson Laboratory had been studying, whereby if you immunized a strain of mouse, strain A, with strain B cells, and then transplanted tissue from the strain B mouse to the strain A mouse strain, that the animals that got this immunizing injections would have either accepted the skin grafts, for example, or tumor grafts. So I decided that I was going to carry out a project focusing on immunologic enhancement. And I decided that I was going to study its effects on transplants of ovaries in female mice. And I then requested from the laboratory, in other words, I had planned this out beforehand, the specific strains of mice that I wanted to use for my study. And then I proceeded on with my project. And in the Westinghouse Science Talent Search, which now is called the Regeneron Science Talent Search, you submit your science project, writing it up as a report, and then you also include your high school record, and you take an exam that was given also, a written exam that you had to fill in multiple questions relating to pretty broad field of science. So I used to read something called Science Newsletter every week, and that prepared me very, very well, because I never took a biology course, and I never took a chemistry course, and I never took a physics course in high school. Now, this Westinghouse Science Talent Search selected 40 high school students from the entire United States to go to Washington, D.C. to present their work, and also to go to a number of different scientific institutions, including a visit to the President of the United States of America in the Oval Office of the White House. And I was one of the 40 students who was selected. And among these 40 students is someone sitting right next to me with the name of Roald Hoffman. And Roald Hoffman did something very, very unusual. First, he won a Nobel Prize. That's very unusual. But second, he was only 43 years old when he got his Nobel Prize. So, there's an example of what high school students can do. And I just was very, very lucky to have been selected in this group of high school students for the second summer. In other words, the second summer at the Jackson Laboratory, they invited four more students to come back for a second year. So in the second year group of students that I was with, there were two people, one of whom was a high school student by the name of David Baltimore, and the other one was our college student advisor, Howard Temin, who both won Nobel Prizes in their 40s. I think actually David Baltimore may have been in his late 30s when he got his Nobel Prize. So clearly, my start in science started with my high school science project, carried out in my own home laboratory without any guidance from anyone.
Thank you. Thank you for your time and your
insight. You're very, very welcome. Very welcome.